The Baltimore Sports Free-for-All.
Well, people are starting to abandon ship.
Yeah, and attendance is at a record low going into September for Camden Yards.
And that's kind of a shame, considering the fact that people would say, well, Peter Angelos has to put together a winning team before everybody comes back and sees it. Well, he's put together a winning team. They're still winning, Josh. They're still a winning team because they're well over 500.
And math is not against the Baltimore Orioles because, let's face it, unless they are epically terrible in September, this team is going to finish with a winning record irregardless.
Yes, but are they going to finish in the playoffs? And I guess that's what people really care about nowadays because they... The AL East, that's a tough one because they have lost 4 out of 6 now as of Wednesday of August 31st. They've now lost 4 out of 6 against AL East opponents. This is the series against the Blue Jays, which is dire. They've lost 2 out of 3 in that series at home. And it seems like, you know, blue is dominating Camden Yards. Blue and green, because green is the color of the seats that are empty right now at Camden Yards. And it just seems to be a shame because this team has put together some wins, has put together some impressive record, but... They are completely bipolar right now at the moment because they go really, really high and then they go really, really low. There's no in-between. There's no in-between whatsoever here now for the Baltimore Orioles. They're either going to light the world on fire or they're going to be like, oh, God, what is happening? Dear God, make it stop.
You want to know how odd it has been for the Baltimore Orioles and their roster in their last 2 weeks? You know who their most consistent starting pitcher is in that time frame? Ubaldo Jimenez has been our most consistent starting pitcher in the last 2 weeks.
Well, that's
good. How crazy things have been.
Well, that's good, considering the fact they needed him to step up in Tillman's absence.
Yeah, but even with Tillman out, that's like, well, Grady stepping up, whoop-de-doo, but what about Gausman? What about Bundy? What about Yovani Gallardo, the guy that we offered a contract to this past offseason? I mean, think about it this way. In the last 4 seasons, the Orioles have offered free agent contracts to guys who were in the top tier of the free agency world when it came to starting pitching. And lo and behold, neither guy has lived up to their end of the bargain. Neither has Gallardo or Jimenez lived up to their end of the bargain.
And before that, it was, I'm blanking on his name right now. There was another big guy from the Cubs that they signed.
Oh, you're thinking about Tommy Hunter. They're bringing back
Not Tommy Hunter. They have him. They have him. It's just, I'm talking about somebody else. It was a starter. It was a highly touted starter. And then now,
Jason Hamill.
Now, not him. I want to say it was an N.
N.
Hey, not Scott Feldman.
Not Scott Feldman. You know what? We'll get back to that shortly. But, yeah, the Baltimore Orioles right now, Ray, are in third place still of the American League East. And right now, with a 72-61 record, 4 games back behind the AL East leading Toronto Blue Jays. And the Blue Jays right now, their pitching and their offense and their fielding are coming together to a point where they're going to be repeat AL East champions. At least that's the way it's looking right now going into September.
Especially going into September. If that number goes over 6 at all, then you could just forget about the division.
Yeah. I mean, you look at it this way, you don't want to say it's over until it's actually over, because we were talking about that in 2013 before the epic Manny Machado injury down in Tampa, Florida, when they were taking on the Rays, and the Rays were contending for a playoff spot during that time. Manny Machado goes down with a leg injury, and then all of a sudden your season's a wash. You're 6-7 games back at the AL East, and lo and behold, you just could never catch up to begin with. So now you're looking at an Orioles team, Ray, who are in the thick of things, still in the playoffs, still in the playoff scenario. We can still put them in there. However, you have the Blue Jays, the Red Sox, the Yankees involved. I mean, when you look at the rest of the American League, you have to throw in there the Detroit Tigers, the Houston Astros, the Royals, who are looking to repeat as World Series champions if they make it in. Let's see, the Seattle Mariners, who the Orioles have had troubles with. And who knows? If the Orioles would have actually stepped up against the Mariners, would the Mariners even be in the conversation? And that's another thing, too.
Well, this is a scenario that could very well happen, is the AL East could send 3 teams to the playoffs. The Red Sox, the Blue Jays, and the Orioles. That's a very realistic scenario right now. 3 teams from one division in baseball going to the playoffs. That's unheard of.
And when you look at the Toronto Blue Jays and what they have done, at least in the past month or so, and the Boston Red Sox too, I mean, you look at the rise of Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, David Ortiz in his season finale, just capping off a great year at 40. you know, and also you add in there the Toronto Blue Jays, their power hitting, their great bullpen, and then all of a sudden, lo and behold, you add two lethal weapons in the AL East that the Orioles have to combat against, along with a New York Yankees team who you and I both wrote off 3 weeks ago when they were making transactions such as Mark Teixeira's retirement, A-Rod's retirement, and we were thinking, oh, it's over. Well, nope, not necessarily, because, of course, you got to look at Gary Sanchez, the catcher, and all of a sudden he's having a breakout rookie year, at least late into the season. So for the Baltimore Orioles, right now, and I hate to say this because this team has some solid power hitters like a Mark Trumbo, like a Manny Machado, like a Jonathan Scope, and like an Adam Jones, who is certainly AWOL at the moment, and who knows when he'll be ready to get back on the field from his day-to-day injuries. The Orioles are lacking the it factor right now. And when I say that, I mean they do not have one or two guys who are full steam ahead going into September saying, hey, look, guys, if any of you are on a cold streak, don't worry. We got you. They don't have anybody like that right now. I mean, we thought they had somebody like that in Dylan Bundy, but recently he's been having struggles. I mean, if there's one guy we could say that has been stepping up to the plate as of late is Kevin Gausman, who's been 5-4 since the All-Star break, which is great considering that he was 0-6 before the All-Star break.
0-6 with an asterisk. He never got any run support.
Yeah, and I know your feelings on win-loss records for pitchers because it all comes down to earned run average. It comes down to run support. But you have to admit, though, the two injuries that have happened, actually we can say three injuries that have happened. You look at the Adam Jones injury, the day-to-day injury he's had. You look at Chris Tillman, who's on the 15-day disabled list, and now rookie outfielder Joey Rickard, who has been moved to the 60-day disabled list. And that was a young guy who had a spark for the Orioles whenever he got any playing time or any consistent playing time. There seems to be no spark going for the Baltimore Orioles right now because everything is all Jekyll and Hyde. One day they're scoring 10 runs. The next day they're only scoring 2 runs or 3 runs, and it's not enough. So where does the buck stop? I mean, no pun intended to Buck Showalter, but where does the buck stop for the Baltimore Orioles going into September and just hoping and praying for October aspirations?
The pitching. It has to step up because you need consistency going into the playoffs. You need that starting pitching to be able to go deep into games because you're going to be knocking yourself down a 4 in a 4-man rotation. So those 4 guys have got to, you know, go to the wall, essentially, because without that, this team just isn't going to be able to do much in the playoffs. And, well, I still think they can at least make that wild card play-in game. If they can make that wild card play-in game and win it, then it's a whole different ball game.
Oh, of course. Once October hits, all the stats from 2016 go out the window. And also, another thing that has to go out the window now is the 25-man roster because as of September 1st, of course, annually, we move to 40-man rosters. And that's where waiver wire pickups come in. And if you were keeping up with the Baltimore Orioles as of August 31st, 2016, they made 3 moves on that day. They picked up outfielder Drew Stubbs. They picked up left-handed pitcher Kyle Lobstein. And their big move, I guess you could say, in terms of the waiver pickup, they picked up left-handed hitter, 2-time All-Star, 2-time Gold Glover, and 3-time leader in the NL in stolen bases between 2010 to 2012, Michael Bourne. Yeah, Michael Bourne is now a Baltimore Oriole. And now you're looking at a situation where, okay, the Orioles have added some speed to their offense where they didn't have that necessity before. Is it safe to say that when adding speed in September, guys that are stolen base artists, because, I mean, you look at Michael Bourne, he has, 339 stolen bases in his 11-year career in the majors. Is it safe to say it's too little too late, or is 30-plus days enough for the Baltimore Orioles to catch up with the run game here?
You don't want to make the play to catch up. You want to be able to be consistent throughout.
Oh, of course.
But that's in the past. You now have to focus right now and take it, as Buck Showalter would say, pass the baton mentality. And you got to have the want to, because right now, your time is nigh. You can't say it's a long season anymore.
No.
You've ran out of days to say that. It's now gut check time for the Baltimore Orioles. And if they can't pull it together right here, then they can even forget about a wild card play-in game, because right now it's looking pretty bleak, especially going up against the American League East and not showing your stature, the people not showing up to the games and everything else that's been happening with them. It's just it's a sight to behold, because you want this team to be successful and you want people to actually show up to, for them to be successful. Come playoff time, if that does happen, you guarantee that yard's going to be rocking. But as of right now, it's dim and it's quiet, and as people are on the edge of their seats right now, and everybody else is pretty much bipolar. You can even see on the Orioles Reddit page and everything else that's been happening. They were getting some love from Deadspin because Manny Machado hit a home run that was over 117 miles an hour. But, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, and as we look at the box scores, that were certainly interesting, not so much for the Orioles pitching, but so much for the opponent hitting. Looking back on, of course, we covered the Washington Nationals series where the Orioles took 3 out of 4 against them. Moving to the Yankees series, Friday, August 26, Orioles lose 14-4 in that game. Sessa was your winner, improving to 4-0. Gallardo the loser at 4-6. Saturday, August 27th, the Orioles lose 13-5 to the New York Yankees. Lane was your winner, improving to 1-1. Bundy the loser at 7-5. Sunday, August 28th, the Orioles win 5-0. Kevin Gausman was your winner, improving to 6-10. Sabathia the loser at 8-11. And then we move to the home series against Toronto, and this is where we added the attendance and how bad it's been so far. Orioles lose 5-1. Estrada was your winner, improving to 8-6. Miley the loser is 8-11, 1-3 as a Baltimore Oriole so far. The attendance, Ray, 15,532. Tuesday, August 30th. The Orioles win 5-3 over the Toronto Blue Jays. Brad Brock was your runner, improving to 8-2. Grilly, the loser, at 4-2. Zach Britton collected his 39th save of the season. Only 16,083 fans in attendance for that game. Wednesday, August 31st, Orioles lose a heartbreaker 5-3 to the Toronto Blue Jays. Sanchez was your winner, improving to 13-2. Gallardo, the loser, at 4-7. The attendance, 16,161 Baltimore / Toronto fans at that game.
Those are attendance records you hear during the 14-year losing streak, and it was even worse than that because they were averaging like sub 14,000 a night.
Yep, and now you have an upcoming home series because the Orioles are off on the 1st of September, which will be on a Thursday. Friday, September 2nd through Sunday, September 4th, they'll be hosting the New York Yankees for a 3-game series. And then Monday, September 5th through Wednesday, September the 7th, they'll be traveling on the road for a 3-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays. And then after that, Friday, September 9th through Sunday, September 11th, they travel up to Detroit, Michigan to take on the Detroit Tigers, who have a chance to make it into the postseason if they can get on a winning streak themselves. Now, let's look at the best and worst of Orioles offense and pitching so far in the past week. Now, in the past week or so, your best hitter batting average wise has been Steve Pierce, who's been batting .357, going 5-for-14, scoring 3 runs in 6 games, 2 home runs, 4 RBIs for number 28. Manny Machado going 8-for-31 in 7 games, scoring 5 runs, 3 home runs, 5 RBIs. And also, I believe that was it right there for Baltimore Orioles hitters, because after that, it was just dry and, you know, inconsistent, cold hitting there. You look at Chris Davis batting .136, 2 home runs, 3 RBIs. Mark Trumbo, 2 home runs, 3 RBIs. You know, I can't really blame them because they're hitting home runs, but at the same time, you feel like you have to put the brunt of the blame on Chris Davis, on Mark Trumbo, because both guys who are power hitters in your lineup are batting .130. Yeah, I mean, who cares if they're hitting 2 home runs or 3 home runs a week? They're not getting on base. They're not drawing walks. They're not upping the pitch count against opposing starting pitching. They are doing a lot at the moment to be in a detriment to the Orioles offense.
And with that, they're costing them games, because you got to look at the wins above replacement with that kind of thing. And is the run production that they're producing, is the juice worth the squeeze? And with a sub 130 average, no, it's not.
No, not at all. And as we move to pitching, I mean, you could say Zach Britton was your relief pitcher of the week, having a save opportunity, getting 2 scoreless innings in 2 games pitched. Kevin Gausman had a solid game on Sunday against the Yankees, pitching 7 scoreless innings, having 9 strikeouts, no walks. He's been stepping up. And I guess your starting pitcher of the week, if we had to add multiple starts, and who knows if we'll ever say this again, Ubaldo Jimenez, 2.84 ERA and two games started, lost one game, but in 12 and two-thirds innings pitch, he only gave up four earned runs. After that, you have T.J. McFarland pitching a 54 ERA, Andrusik a 27 ERA, Michael Givens a 15.43 ERA, Yovani Gallardo a 12.27 ERA, Dylan Bundy 11.25. When you have five pitchers this past week whose ERAs are over 10, you know you have some problems going into September.